go, Huskies.
This is the Joe Schaan Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaleva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schaan, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. And yes, the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93, where for the next 60 minutes we talk nothing but Michigan Tech hockey as the Huskies coming off the Bemidji State weekend at Bemidji State. One of them outdoors, the Friday night game outdoors in temperatures that were said to be 35 degrees below zero wind chill, 10 degrees below of actual temperature. And then indoors at Sanford Center. Huskies coming off a couple of losses, a 4-3 overtime loss on Friday night, and a 3-0 loss with an empty net goal on Saturday night. Good morning, Coach. How are you today?
Good morning. We're going to have some fun today, I think.
We've got lots to talk about. I know it's a little bit of a tough time right now for Michigan Tech hockey, but lots of good things to look forward to, including another weekend coming up this week. We get right back at it up in Anchorage, a place that has always been difficult for Michigan Tech to for any team to play well when you're traveling that far. But let's go back to this past weekend and the excitement, the build-up for the Bemidji State outdoor game, Coach. And there was a lot of excitement for that game.
Oh, it was fun. They did a great job over there. The village they set up for it. The college game was just probably a small part of the whole thing. It's built around high school hockey. It's built around hockey in the state of Minnesota. I congratulated and thanked a lot of the volunteers that were out there, putting the dry ice on, the CO2 and stuff on the ice, working so hard, not just for our game, but out there game after game. We were watching games on TV in a hotel and things like that. And they had a women's college game. They had several high school games. They had the number one and number two teams in the state, ranked teams in the state, play each other, travel in and play each other on the ice. There was a lot of games that went on. And those people out there, they battled all the elements and had a good time and did a great job. So the village, the tent set up, the activities, they had bonfires going everywhere. Someone got into it behind the thing. I hope nobody was hurt, but we saw a house burn down behind or apartment building thing burning down behind it. There was just a lot of activity going on. A lot of people worked really hard, and I'm appreciative that we were part of it. I think it was a great experience. I wouldn't want to do those every day.
No.
But our staff did a tremendous job. Matthew, Anthony, in getting everything we needed. Zach, I didn't hear any complaints about the cold. I think the guys were taken care of well, and it was a great experience. It was another game where we lost with a penalty. A lot of those recently in the third period, an inadvertent penalty. But they got the goal in the power play in overtime, and that experiment, I think, a little bit on a penalty kill backfired a little bit.
Well, it was a great, great setup there. And for people who don't, we don't get the coverage here in Michigan like obviously they do in Minnesota on Hockey Day in Minnesota. Just so people know, there were three games that were televised only on Saturday. And that was, as you mentioned, a high school game early in the day. I think a 9:30 start or 9 o'clock start. Then the women's game, which was a non-conference between Bemidji State and
Mankato,
Minnesota State. And then another high school game later in the day. And Huskies, of course, played the outdoor game on Friday, which was not officially part of the hockey day in Minnesota, but they did a great job with it. They really did. And I know I just can't imagine how many man hours go into putting that on. So pretty incredible. But it was cold out there, and different lighting conditions, obviously, too, that the players had to adapt to.
Yeah, and I think we did. I think there were goals early in the game, and then the game settled into a normal hockey game. And it was for the most part, especially the second half, is a pretty well-played game. There wasn't much scoring after that. There were a few goofy goals prior to that, but I thought from, especially the midpoint of the second period on, it was a good hockey team. Both teams were giving it, and both teams were playing hard to win. And, I know that it was, after the game, it was a painful situation after losing that hockey game. It was one that we really wanted to win, and we wanted to, It was tough, but it was a great environment. The accommodations, they did the best they could. The village, how they set the whole thing up, reminded me a lot of, if anybody's been there, the I-500 snowmobile race in the Sioux. I mean, it was just things going on everywhere. Part of the game, not part of the game. You know, like I said, they're that one area where they had those bonfire pits that were kind of metal engraved with logos and teams and things on them. And, you know, those things are probably 10-foot diameter, and they had, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 of those in that one area where people were just gathered around. But, you know, they'd go in the tent, get their beverage, come out and socialize. They had the ice fishing going on the lake right on the other side of the road, and there was a tremendous amount going on. It was really a fun experience. I compliment. I'm going to send a nice email today to Tom Ceratori on the job that they did. Other than the outcomes of the games, the experience was absolutely tremendous.
There's a lot of talk by people from here that were at the games. You know, would it be possible to do anything like that up at Michigan Tech or somewhere else? And it obviously possible, and usually a little bit warmer. But the biggest thing we run into up here is that we get so much snow all the time. You know, we don't realize it sometimes until you go to a place like Bemidji where 4 or 5 days in a row there's no snow that falls. They don't have to worry about moving snow.
Yeah, just the bitter cold. We could get dumped on for 3 feet, and
right.
It could be, and then where we're, yeah, it could, it'd be a big deal. But that says a lot about it, what you just mentioned there, because it was brutally cold. It was brutally cold, and our people still said, could we do something like this? I just wish that some of the passion and the desire and things right now that, you know, we need to feed off of that. I need to feed off of that from the pod, the emails I'm getting right now from our people, from the extension of our team, from our loyal fan base. You know, Darcy Way sent me an absolutely phenomenal text message yesterday, a couple of them, and, you know, so many people, I'm not going to mention all of them, that have sent me a lot of things, and they, you know, they know how hard we're battling, and I appreciate they know we're trying to do things the right way here. We're getting a lot of pushback from our group. We have to battle through that. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the show, but the people that were there, I mean, you could do anything to the people here, from the people from here that come here. And that's why Suzanne Sandergett said, in a good way, this place isn't for everybody. You know, some people might take that as, you know, there's better places to be. But the reality of it is, there's not. Mm-hmm. There's not. We've all had opportunities to be somewhere else, and we're here because we like it here. And it is a special place to be. And you know, the people, you see it. Can we do something like that here? You know, can we do something like that here? That's just an unbelievable comment, and it just warms my heart.
Absolutely. We've got lots to talk about. We'll talk more specifically about the games on Friday and Saturday night at Bemidji, and lots to do here today on the Joe Schon Hour. Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We're talking a little bit about the Bemidji State weekend. It was very exciting with the outdoor game at 10 below temperatures, 35 below wind chill factors, and getting his first goal of his career, Todd Keelan.
Johnson back there too. Huskies get it at the line. A shot saved, made, blocked there. Loose puck in front of Driscoll and kicked to the corner. And Michigan Tech will work it back to the line again. They go D to D. Keelan with a shot. That one scores! Keelan with the goal right through Driscoll. As that one came in, it looked like a knuckleball, and a tough play there for Driscoll to try to see that one coming in. Huskies lead 2-1.
Todd Keelan had talked about his first goal.
Reitmeyer's line had a great shift down low, and they had a good pressure down there, and they managed to find Goats up top, and he slid it across to me on the blue line, and I just tried to get it on net, and luckily it went in. I think Beretta skated right across the goalie, and the D followed him, so I don't think the goalie saw it, but it was fun to get a goal there.
Did you get all the wood on that one, too, or did it kind of knuckleball in on the way in?
I'm not sure, really. I guess I just tried to get it on net. I probably didn't get all of it. It's probably tough to see with the lighting and the shadows there, but Beretta did a great job in front and opened up a lane for me to get it on net.
So how did it feel?
Felt good. I mean, it's been a long time coming, but I guess any way I can help the team is a good feeling, so it felt good to get one there.
he was very excited, and exciting for him to get that first one finally.
Yeah, and it was off good offensive zone play. We've been trying to improve that part of our game, our 5-on-5 play. It's needed. As you saw Saturday night when we only got one power play, it was we weren't able to generate a lot of offense. But in the outdoor game there, we had a couple of good sequences. All three goals came off of good offensive zone play. This was a nice stretch play, low to high in the offensive zone, and Todd used a screen and misdirect. Tommy Beretta made a great play making cross traffic in front of the goaltender, and the goaltender lost sight of the puck as the traffic was moving in front of him, and Todd made a good shot. I'm proud of him. He's a great kid. He's a hard competitor. He's a man. Whenever things are going tough, I gravitate towards him and a few others because of what you're going to get, and you're always going to get their best effort, and you're always going to get a lot of compete.
It was nice to see Brian Hellinen get on the board too. I know he'd been gripping it a little bit, but he got that first goal for the Huskies, and that was big for us.
Yes,
him.
Same type of play. It was a great play. He hung around the area. It was more spread offense type stuff, and we found him all alone in front of the net, and he made no mistake on it. We found Gavin Gould a couple times in front of the net, so it was good to see those guys get their get some offense and get rewarded for what they do.
It was unfortunate. I mean, we had three leads in that game, and we just couldn't seem to hold on to them. Give Bemidji credit too; they really played hard and got the pucks to the front of the net, and got that one long goal from near center ice. But that was a bit of a fluke, I think, due to the conditions out there.
But the first goal against they got, I thought, was a marginal goal. We had good coverage. We had them outnumbered and, down low. And Luch tried to make a play in the slot area and lost the puck. And they just kind of a backhand flip. I think that I would think that Robbie thought that Luch had full possession of it. You never want to let up a bit. I think he let up a bit on that. And it was just a Luch trying to make a play in right in front of the net. And the guy just took the puck and flipped it up. And, very similar to a couple of the goals that Lake State got, where we had the puck in the zone. And Robbie seemed to let up a little bit on those, where you're like, wow, it's all of a sudden it's in the net. If you recall those goals, so at the GLI. So we're going to have to improve in that area on a lot of fronts. And then the second goal of the game, obviously wasn't a great goal. It was right off the face-off, and guy just flipping the puck in. And, I guess it took the wind. I guess it took two bad bounces. It took a lot of things, but it was a goal that you don't want to give up.
So we go to overtime, and as you mentioned earlier, we get the penalty that it seemed in my eyes, and maybe I'm wrong, but that Sawyer almost had to take because it looked like they had a really good chance going back.
Yeah, absolutely. It happened twice, virtually in the same spot. Odd play again. We're trying to make a play, going to make a pass all alone there, time and space to make a play, and fell down before the pass was made. And we've had those happen too often here. If you remember the goal that beat us against St. Cloud back in the NCAA tournament, back my first year here, falling down, and the break last year in the NCAA tournament, Ocker's stick breaks, and then those goofy things happen just too often. And you're right, Colin had to take the guy down. He was going to go in on a breakaway all alone, and so he did, and we weren't able. I think there were, 1 second left.
3 seconds left in the
yeah. 3 seconds left in the power play. I think on the official sheet there was one, I think, but on the clock it was three for sure. But it was a tough break. But you got to get through those. You got to fight through those.
Brian Scholes, the radio play-by-play voice of Bemidji State, called the overtime winner for Eichstätt.
Walks down the wall a little bit. Tommy Muck pushes it into the corner for Armour. Back up top, it comes now for Eichstätt. Eichstätt through traffic, shoots, scores. Dylan Eichstätt in overtime. A power play goal with 3 seconds left in the penalty. 1:56 left in overtime. Bemidji State wins it.
Did a screen factor into that at all, Coach? It was tough to tell from our angle there.
It didn't look like it. It didn't look like it. It looked like we missed a block and a couple of blocks in front, and it looked like it was just a shot. He was able to walk in a little bit because they kind of broke down our coverage a little, and he was able to walk in. It looked like, I don't know if it, I couldn't see it from, I mean, it was dark, and it was dark there, and it was at the far end away from us. I don't know if it went over Robbie's glove or through him, but it was a top of the circle snapshot that just beat him. It looked like to me it was just a clean shot.
Final shots 43 for Bemidji State. Michigan Tech with 36 shots in overtime, 2-1 in favor of Bemidji State. Of course, they have the power play there. They win the game 4-3. So we go to Saturday night's game, and the Huskies trying to get the split on the weekend and win two out of the four games, including the tie then against Bemidji State, but it just didn't happen. And it looked like we had some good opportunities in that first period. There was no scoring in that first period. Robbie really made some nice saves, I thought, at times when we were scrambling a little bit inside of our zone.
He did. The disappointing thing, I mean, obviously the highly disappointing thing in Saturday's game is we only had 5 scoring chances in the game. And two or three of them, as you mentioned, came very early. Now, a couple missed the net and things like that. But we came out. Now, the good side of it is through the first half of the game, we only gave up 7 scoring chances. I think the chances were 7-3. So we were playing... You know, we're playing pretty well the other way. They had a pushback at the end of the first where they got 2 or 3 scoring chances. I think they ended up with 5 in the first, and we ended up with 2 or 3. I think we got 1 in the third. They only got 2 in the third. And one of them was that I gave a scoring chance on the empty net goal where they, you know, they just managed the puck out, walked out of the zone with it. You know, Colin had trouble handling it at the point. Dylan turned it over on a battle at the top of the circle, and they walked out and walked in on goal. I mean, that's be a breakaway if there was a goalie in the net. So that's a scoring chance. Other than that, they had one prior to that on a deflection in front of the net. So we played better in the third as well, came out with more determination in the third, but still didn't generate anything.
So here's the first goal. This was on the power play as they found Dickman in front of the net.
They get it back to the blue line. Beaudry will hold it in. Beaudry, quick shot. That one deflected wide of the net. Picked up by Harris. His shot tipped in front. They score. Dickman with the goal. He tipped it right between the legs of Robbie Badun. Nothing Robbie could do on that one. That's just a real nice play by Bemidji State, as Harris, I believe, was the one who got it to the front of the goal, and it's a power play goal for the Beavers. 1-0.
So a nice play, but could we have done more on that play, Coach?
Well, we had a defenseman go behind the net. On the weak side, defenseman went behind the net, should have been there. We should have had sandwich cover on Dickman, but it was a quick play, and we were anticipating. And they, you know, Dickman had a good series against us.
He really did.
Big, strong guy, much like if you remember, Nico Sturm from Clarkson had a nice series against us there. Big, strong guys. We have trouble handling them. Because of our, you know, our size on the blue line and our compete as a team, and those big guys. Dickman had the breakaway goal in the outdoor game as well. So he had other chances in front of the net. That was a shot pass by Harris, and Dickman got a stick on it and put it in between Robbie's legs.
That was at the that power play goal was at the 10:59 mark of the second period, breaking the scoreless tie. So 1-0 Bemidji State, and this is the one that I thought really was the pivotal point of the game, the one that really crushed us, the late goal in the second period.
He's trying to get something going here with the last 5 of the second period. Somoza back the other way now for Bemidji State. Here's a shot. Save Mandy! Robbie Badun made the save, and it just trickled through him. He thought he had it. And that's going to hurt the Huskies with just 59 seconds left to go in the second period.
That just seemed to, at least for me, deflate me, and I think it deflated the team a little bit going into that intermission.
Yeah, we had bad gaps entering the zone there by our defense. Rocky should have been up more on the guy and been able to get a stick. He still was able to force the puck from a bad angle outside, and that's starting to creep in now on Robbie. We're starting to give up, as happens, we're starting to give up that one goal a game, 2 goals a game, you know, that you don't want to have. So that's our confidence level right now as a team. But the thing is that everything's magnified right now, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The tough part about right now, Dirk, and I think you heard it in my post game comments the other night. The tough thing about this is that there is no pressure put on these guys to win. You know, put on our team to win. We're all in this together. But the only thing is to get better every day. We're still, you know, it's going to be tough games this weekend. We just saw watching our video in Northern Michigan was handled pretty good by Anchorage on the Friday night game. Anchorage has got, you know, they're playing hard. It's going to be it's going to be tough. And when you're not generating offense, especially 5-on-5, if there's not a lot of power plays and things, and you never know how the power play is going to be. You know, that's that old cat and dog thing. You know, your cat is your offense. You never know if it's, you know, you want it to come, you want it to do something. You never know if it's going to do it. Your defense is a dog. You know, you tell it to come, it should always be there. So defensive teams are going to, you know, really good defensive teams are always going to give you trouble. Bemidji was a really good defensive team on Saturday night and gave us a ton of trouble. And but that's the hard thing right now is that we have guys that are not getting better. We're still, I mean, as a staff, do we go back to the basics? And I mean for seniors and juniors? Do we go back to the basics and start all over again on teaching the basics? You know what I mean? Or do we, or we still try to keep progressing and keep going and keep going? And that's a tough thing because we should be getting better. Our game should be becoming tighter. And there's just tremendous pushback. There's tremendous, you know, irony that you can feel going on behind the scenes. There's just tremendous pushback in that from within the group and not cohesiveness, you know, complaining about roommates, you know, who they're rooming with on the road and things like that is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, it has nothing to do. We're trying to get some upperclassmen rooming with some young guys to try to, you know, you know, eliminate segregation and do things. So we're working hard every single day. And, you know, I go back to what I said before, and I, you know, I got an email on that. I said that last week, but I think a lot, we all are our habits. And when you, regardless of how good you are, and you come from programs that didn't have a tremendous amount of success, and now you're in a role where you have to push through it, we're going back to our, it wasn't ingrained and learned enough from the culture that was here before on how you do it. We're going back to how we led those teams. You know what I mean? And that doesn't work. You know, I've never, ever, ever, as a head coach, had a losing season ever, at any time ever. And I've only been a part of a couple of losing seasons in juniors when you had, you know, energy vampires, guys that sucked the energy out of the group. When you had that, you moved them. You built a trade value in them or whatever, or you just released them. You gave them an opportunity sooner rather than later to go make their mark someplace else. The environment isn't good. It's not productive for you. It's not productive for us. Let's just do this. And it always turned out, always one of the top teams in the country. In college, it's harder to do that. You're not just going to get rid of guys like that. You have a commitment level and things like that. So you work through that. But the teams that I've been a part of, just a couple in college, had culture issues. They had complaining issues. They had whining issues. They had poor me issues. It's if we were fighting through it, if we were doing everything we could, the guys that are having trouble with weight, the guys that are, you know, those things, they'd be doing the extra thing that they need to do as we are as a staff. We're pushing and pushing and pushing. What angle can we do? What lines? And everything you do is quietly behind the scenes questioned. And there's no buy-in, and you explain it, you make them part of it, there's no head games involved, you're not making threats, you're not saying, listen, if you don't pick it up, you're gone at the end. There's none of that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Our goal is to get better every day, and we're coming with that attitude of getting better every day. And there's just a lot of poor me, and you see it as part of a culture that has to change, and we have to change our culture right now. And our culture was our strength. Our culture was absolutely our strength, because we had guys that went through this prior. You know what I mean? Like, prior to me coming here, they hadn't had a winning season in I don't know when. Maybe when Tyler Shalas played. But Michigan Tech hadn't had a home ice series in whatever playoff series, hadn't won a championship in 35 years, you know. And a lot of guys went through a lot of pain, you know, like Tanner Caro, Sturros, Neville, Hannah, Roy, and guys before them, you know what I mean, went through a lot of pain, upsets in the playoffs, going down to Bowling Green before I got here, you know what I mean, and things that went into that, and locker room issues that were going on at that time, and they got through it, and we aren't going to let that happen to us. And that culture carried. Those guys that went through that pain carried that culture on to when Matt Roy and those guys came. These guys here have never lost. They've never been part of a losing culture. These seniors here, and we give them credit for that they've all the wins and everything that we've gotten. But now it's their time to lead, and that pain, they don't feel that pain. You know what I mean? They don't feel so, and that's what I go with. And I'm talking juniors as well. They've only won championships. Whatever part of it they were, they've only won it. Well, that stuff just doesn't happen, man. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens by a lot of it by determination. A lot, you know, you can make up for a lot of lack of things. Our system play, if you watch it, isn't bad. Our system play is actually very good. Our tactics, our one-on-one individual play offensively and defensively, ability to make a play offensively without turning it over, ability to win a battle defensively and not allow Bemidji a chance to stretch and spread and do the things that they do. All they were doing was getting the puck in and creating one-on-one battles on the forecheck and things like that, and then when they got possession of it, playing with the puck. Our guys aren't, it's our tactics, our individual tactics that aren't, that are breaking down. It's not so much the systematic play. It's good. Our, you know, we're getting ourselves in position to do things offensively and defensively. We're isolating what we want to isolate. We're not giving a ton of breakaways. I mean, we had a bad breakdown on a read by one player on a breakaway on Saturday. Other than that, we aren't giving up a lot of odd man rushes. But that individual play to possess the puck and to get the puck, and that's through pain, Dirk. It's will, it's sacrifice, and a lot of guys paid the price here to build it, and we haven't done a great job of maintaining that and carrying it through for, you know, and again, I'll take responsibility for that because I'm the guy at the top driving it. And so we have to keep pushing it, have to keep demanding to get better, and stick our nose to the grindstone and keep eliminating as we feel best the people and the things that are draining the life out of our group.
All right, we'll take a break. Final score on Saturday night, 3-0, with an empty net goal for Bemidji State University, and final shots in that game. Huskies only with 18 shots on goal. And Bemidji State, I think, ended up with 25 shots on goal. So that was Saturday night's game. Let's go to some of your questions when we come back. It's all part of the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turf Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Trevo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an Edward Jones IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2018. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Best pizza? New York style.
No. Deep dish.
No way. A white pie and wash it down with a Coke.
No. Neapolitan.
Detroit style.
No question.
Unbelievable. I didn't even know they made pizza.
It's gotta be chewy.
No. Extra crispy.
With extra red sauce.
No. Gluten free.
I love cheese pizza.
And a Coke.
Pineapple.
Who puts a pineapple on their pizza?
It's called Hawaiian.
No. Fresh mozzarella.
I want cheese on the pizza and in the crust.
Fork and knife. All day.
Come on.
You'll get folded.
Pizza? Goes best with a Coke.
Has to be Coke.
My pizza goes with a Coke.
You got that right.
I like my pizza with a Coke.
An ice cold Coke.
Pizza and a Coke. Come on.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93. We are taking some of your questions. Still have time to get a question in if you're listening here on Monday morning. And first question today, Coach, is can you explain what precisely you mean, as I have heard you say on numerous occasions that you are a process guy, not a results guy. Does this distinction relate in any way to the current difficulties being experienced by the team?
Well, if the question is, does the process have to change, we're examining everything. What we try to do is we try to show the guys what we want as a group. We try to, Monday is a skill day where we work on individual skills. It's a skill and conditioning compete. It's kind of a no-brainer day to get yourself back into the week while we're banging out video and putting all of our video stuff together for the week. On Tuesday is a lot of defensive type stuff. It's one-on-one stuff. It's neutral zone. It's a transition off of defensive things. It's some D-zone cover. We do power play every single day, at least once during the practice, often twice. We do 6-on-5. We do, 5-on-3. We do different situations during the day, during the week. Tuesday, they'll get their prep video of the opposition. And this is all to get better and to prepare. So that's the process. So the individual stuff. So Tuesday we'll do prep video that's short, usually about 3 minutes of we're looking for things that other teams did against them recently that we do, that we want to put into the game to make sure that we're working on, so that they have an idea during the week for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as we're doing our specific systematic type stuff. So they understand why we're doing it, and it's getting drilled into them why we're doing it. So we show things that work in the different scenarios that we want to do. We also do our penalty kill on Tuesday we'll do our practice. Then we flood. We come back out. While the flood's going on, now we show a penalty kill video of how we want to approach specifically the multiple looks that the opposition will give us on the penalty kill, and we go out and we practice that for about 15-20 minutes, and then that's our Tuesday. Monday's a weight room day, Wednesday's a weight room day. Wednesday is offensive oriented type stuff. They've had their prep work on video. There's some power play video often, and then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays we're spending, we spend a lot of positive time with guys with the group on showing them the stuff that we want and emphasizing the stuff that we want and the stuff that'll work and showing them what works. Tuesday and Wednesday and even Thursday is individual or group one-on-ones with coaches where we're going through, okay, this will help, this will help. Just that's where if we're going to get into something that may be negative based, it's not done in a group dynamic. It's done one-on-one and it's specific. And that's where we get into our tactic type stuff where we'll say, okay, if you did this, because the whole group, if you keep showing the whole group and talking to the whole group about one individual doing things over and over and over, first it singles out that individual. And then, secondly, on the other side of it to the group, it's just wasting their time. You're going to teach them to tune out when you're getting to the important stuff. So we make sure we're spending time individually with guys then after practice, before practice, goalie work before practice, guys that need individual things. We have to force them to condition at times. We have to force them to do some fast speed work. We have to force them to handle rims. We do individual things with guys at those times. And so Monday's a lot of skill. Before and after practice, on other days, a lot of skill. We have guys that go out during the week early with coaches to do individual one-on-one type stuff to improve their things. Everything designed to get better. Everything designed for daily improvement. That's my concern is if you get better every day, if you are getting better every day, a little bit better at something, you're growing as a player. And eventually, hopefully, if you're doing things right, your last game of the year, and that's why I was fine with the Notre Dame game last year, we played a good hockey game. You know, that was a good game between two good gladiator teams going at it. Either one of them could have won the national tournament. Notre Dame ended up going to the championship game and just losing a very close game to Duluth. When we talk about the process, that's what we're talking about. We don't sit there and say, we don't put everything on losing. Because let's say Friday night's game, we play a pretty good game. We let in a goal from the outside the red line. But, you know, things happen in the game that, you know, a goalie could get absolutely hot and stone you, just like in baseball. If you put everything on winning, then what do? You go in and say, well, the point is if you play poorly and you continue to play poorly and you're winning, eventually it'll catch up with you. That's in a lot of ways what happened to us in the first half, is we were playing pretty good, but you knew that competitive teams, Clarkson, Duluth, the competitive teams were giving us a lot of trouble. Teams that just stuck to defense and had the patience to do that, like Bemidji did Saturday night, inside all their checks, tight gapping, not trying to do anything heroic one-on-one, managing the puck, going in, winning some battles, taking the chances when the chances happened or when the other team got impatient. If you worry about the result, you lose factor that. We have guys worrying, in my opinion, about the results right now individually that want to have, that want points. They want points. We, you know, clip after clip when we do this individual type work. And by the way, I don't like the word process. I'd rather have the word journey. I'm not worried about the destination. We're going to spend, you know, 40 days in this journey. You know, we're going to get there for, you know, a minute. We're going to get to our where we're going for a minute. You know what I mean? That time we spend together is the time that we're going to, are the memories we're going to have, not that, not when we walked into our destination, you know what I mean? So we have to focus on getting better all the time, and that's what we do. And I think for a lot of players, that's the boring part of it. The boring part of it. They just want the cookies at the end. You know what I mean? Well, someone's got to cook them, someone's got to bake them, someone's got to deliver them, someone's got to grow the wheat, someone's got to do everything so you can have that cookie, so you can enjoy that cookie. But, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into prior to that. My wife does things for me all the time that I just enjoy, you know, and, you know, makes dinner. She does so much, as do people that truly love each other. They do those things for each other. That's going to be my message to the team today. Fellas, we got to develop a love in this locker room. We have to develop, and love doesn't always mean you like each other. Love means, and love is a verb. Love isn't, to me, it's not another Joe Shawnism. It's not a, you know, it's not that, I don't know, ecstasy feeling. It's not that. Love is a verb. Love comes from work. My wife loves the baby the minute it's born. We lost a child. When we it was a miscarriage. She had a miscarriage on first one. It tore her apart to the point where when she was pregnant the second time, which ended up being our first child, Maya, it she didn't want to tell anybody. It tore her apart. I didn't have that bond. I was, honey, we'll be okay. You know, we'll be okay. She carried it. You know what I mean? She was taking care of her body for it. She carried it. It's a verb. Love's a verb. Love is for doing things for others. It's servant leadership. It's why I was hired, because that's the type of coaching that I try to do. It's the reason that that was the talk. That was what they said. That's what we want here. We need to care for each other. All I'm doing on these radio shows and things is being consistent in my message of holding accountability of that. We need to care about each other, and love to do that, to make it matter that much. People will lay down their life for their kid before they'd lay down their life for themselves. You know what I mean? They would go out there and sacrifice their life for someone else. People do it all the time. It has to matter that much. The other person has to matter that much. That's the process. And that's what I'm getting at. It's a verb. If it matters that much, if other people matter that much, if our fan base mattered that much to them, if everything mattered, they would do everything they could, extra weight room, extra whatever. It'd be killing them. Not that they aren't having personal success, but they're part of a team that's going backwards. It would be killing, and it is killing guys. But, you know, of the five scoring chances we got the other night, one is Seamus Donahue walking in from the red line, making a couple of good individual moves. A high-end character kid puts it off the goalie's shoulder. Two of them are Ray Bryce. So that's three of them right there. Then we got one from Gavin from a nice play from Luchin Stamen. That's four of our scoring chances right there. You know what I mean? Like, but three of them are from, I mean, it's the guys that you don't ever, ever, ever worry about because they do everything right. And the problem is we can't play them all the time because they get too tired. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they do things the right way. Their process is right. And they've been through hard times. Their character oozes out of those guys.
All right, next question, Coach. The lack of quote-unquote compete among leaders, does it extend to the freshmen and sophomores, or is the future brighter?
Well, we're pushing it that way. We're pushing it that way. You know, Brooksy made a comment yesterday. We were in the office doing things yesterday, and he said, you know, we had, you know, so because we only had five scoring chances, we didn't do things. We went with a upperclassman dominant. We only had six. You normally have more freshmen in the lineup. We had six guys out of lineup. Paratino wasn't in the lineup. Pogliese wasn't in the lineup. We had six freshmen in the lineup, and we didn't. and we didn't generate anything. You know what I'm saying? So the freshmen are going through pain right now, and we're hoping and we believe that we have character. And this isn't all on the upper. This is a team. But like I said last week, you know, there you do things hard and you don't settle for anything better than your best every day. Or you do things soft and you say, you know, just leave me alone. You know, I'm doing my best. And the two don't mix. They don't like each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Soft and hard. There's people I'm sure in this radio show that say, I can't stand listening to that guy. All he does is just say what needs to be done. You know? And there's other people that are saying, he's dead nuts right on. You know, he's dead nuts right on. There is no room in this world. If you make an excuse, I used to tell my wife, and I've said this before in another Joe Sean analogy, we're coming home from a rink. Mama bears protect their kids. They do it. They, like we just said, they'd lay down their life for them. My wife would lay down her life immediately. She'd donate every organ. If each of our kids needed an organ, she'd give them all, and she'd, goodbye. Goodbye, I love you all, goodbye. She would do that. But she also has that protective nature that says, I'm going to take away their pain. So if we're in the car on the way home with one of my daughters who were highly competitive, or my son who's was an athlete, if she would say anything about the coaches, like complaining or anything like that, I would say to her one-on-one, Laura, I want you to know, I'm a coach. You're handicapping that kid for the rest of his life, or her life. You're handicapping him. Because when they have to choose, when it gets hard between mom's and dad's excuses and just do your job, whether the guy likes you, whether he doesn't like you, whether he's, you know, whatever, or she, you're handicapping the kid. Just like so many people who have trying to get out of the cities, and like so many parents are grinding and grinding for their kids not to join gangs and things like that. They're handicapping their kids if they don't parent them and tell them that's not the life. That life leads to failure. You're going to have immediate gratification. Yeah, you're going to have some money in your pocket, selling your drugs, doing whatever you're doing, stealing, doing whatever. But it's not. That's not life. If you want to succeed in life, do things the right way, and it may or may not work out, but you can look in the mirror at the end of the day, and then hopefully you'll raise good children. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what it's all about. So you can look at it two ways. We're going to keep trying to get better every day. And if I'm repelling people, I hope it's because I'm not soft. You know what I mean? Belichick, look at them. You know, everything, they're stacking everything. You can't win, you can't do this. Brady and Belichick hate each other, blah, blah, blah. They're back in the Super Bowl. And everybody knows I love that team. I'm not a bandwagoner. If Bill Belichick was coaching North Korea, I'd be voting for North Korea. Like, I just think the guy has it together. Scotty Bowman had it together. Like, you know, do your job. This isn't, you know, I love you. I love you. And because I love you, this hurts. But I'm holding you accountable. Because you're not holding yourself accountable, son. Ray Bryce is not hearing a damn thing from Joe Sean. Misiak isn't. Rockwell's not. There's guys that are not hearing a thing from me. And these messages, they're buying into them. You know what I mean? But there's guys that are like, I can't stand that guy. I can't, because they don't get along. You know, I hear from Matt Roy all the time. I hear from Les Brons. I hear from Blake Padilla. Those guys, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to hear from a lot of these guys, and I know that because, you know, to me, I'm the enemy. You know what I'm saying? But we're trying to build a culture here and maintain a culture. And my job is to, I'm helping them in the long run by trying to force them to do things differently and to get outside of and put others first. And I have to put others first in order to do that.
Okay, Coach, very good. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more questions and more of the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
It's rainy fish tacos from out of the sky. Joey's tacos, no need to ask why. Put them in your mouth and close your eyes. It's rainy fish tacos, Joey's fish tacos, Joey's fish tacos, rainy fish tacos, I love fish tacos.
Get your fish taco for $2.99 at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
Rainy fish tacos, it's rainy fish tacos at Joey's.
Think about your home. What do you see?
Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair. Advanced tech.
The deals keep getting better and better in 2019 at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store. Calumet, kick off the new year with Bucko's six-pack of 16-ounce canned beer special. All Canada Dry 1 liters and 7-Up 20-ouncers are 99 cents. All Pepsi product 12-pack cans are only 2 for $9, and all 2 liters are 2 for $3. Stay warm this winter with Keweenaw alpaca gear, sold exclusively at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit. Bucko's Party Store, Calumet.
Welcome back, Michigan Tech students. The Michigan Tech Campus Store, located in the Memorial Union Building, is here to serve you and help you save money. We have a great selection of new and used textbooks and alternative course material options for rent or purchase. For added convenience, eligible students can charge in-store purchases up to $1,500 directly towards tuition. Campus Store offers value, service, and convenience here on campus. So stop in today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Thank you, and we hope to see you soon.
Get a couple more questions in here before we have to take another break. It's 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and the Joe Schaan Hour continuing here on Mix 93. Coach, your next question is, which leader would you rather have? The exceptional player who leads quietly by example, or the less talented player that's a vocal leader who can grab a guy by the jersey and demand he play better?
Well, you need them both, right? You need them both. See, that's the irony that we're fighting right now. And that's what's causing such turmoil within our group, is that we're sitting some guys out, not to send messages, but because of strictly the productivity. We have a lot of guys that have zero or one point, max two in the last 10 games, 5-on-5. They're doing nothing but getting power play, you know, doing things on the power play. My answer to that, I guess, would be, is that both of them are providing leadership in the way that they do. One of the best leaders I ever saw at the collegiate level was a guy by the name of Clayton Beddoes at Lake State. He never said a word. The reality of it is leaders lead by example. And so you need both of them, because in order to lead, you have to be doing it yourself, or else it's shallow. So if you're leading, if you're holding guys accountable because you're a skilled leader, you have to have that, because if you don't, you're not going to, if you're just playing all your high character guys and they can't score goals, then you're going to have trouble as well. But it gets to the point where if those other guys aren't, you know, if you're going with skill guys and you're trying to say because they have the ability, but they're not doing it, in my opinion, you're better off with the guys that are buying in and doing things. Here's a better way to put it. I'm not choosing a political side. I'm not doing anything right now, but let's just look at Donald Trump. Love him, hate him, whatever. He got elected because he said he was going to do some things. I think it's awesome that he's trying to do those things. Finally, a person who didn't just say, hey, listen, I'm going to say what I'm going to say to get elected, and then once I'm elected, you know, then the big thing, the bigger picture is getting elected. The bigger picture is keeping your promises. So, like him, hate him, I hate his delivery as well. But at least he's doing what he's fighting for what he was elected to do. And I don't care which side you're on, you do that. You look at this border issue, this thing. I don't have a side on that. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know the answer to it. But I do know this, that he was elected to do it, and he's fighting for it, right or wrong. You can watch video, YouTube video after video after video of you know, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, the Speaker of the House, and Nancy Pelosi, all those people. There's all the people that are doing all this stuff right now, Every single one of them came out and said, we absolutely have to have a wall. Hillary Clinton, I voted for a wall. You know what I mean? It's political. They're not leading, in my opinion. They're pandering. They're part of the problem. They're the soft. They're not the hard. He's the hard. He's fighting it for what he said he was going to do. It means that much to him to do what he said he was going to do, the integrity of it. And the others pick a political fight just for political purposes. They're using us. They're using the welfare of us for politics. You know what I mean? That's the point. One is leading, in my opinion. The others aren't leading. I think the other side needs somebody that'll come up and be honest and not go back and forth. I'm not a big Paul Ryan person because during the election, I thought, you know, whatever way the polls were going, he was jumping side to side to side to side. Pick your convictions and go with them and admit when you're wrong and fight for what you believe in.
Coach, a couple of scores from over the weekend in the WCHA stand out. None more than Lake Superior beating Minnesota State at Minnesota State, 1-0 on Saturday night. Big win for Lake State right there.
They're buying in. We said it before. They were the top-ranked team of the teams at the GLI. People would say to me, and I said it a couple of shows ago, you lost to Lake State. Yeah. They're a better team. They're primed right now. They're working hard. They're attentive to detail. They're competing. They're battling. They're turning it into one-on-ones and coming out with those one-on-ones. They're doing it the right way. Now, I saw at one point in that game they were getting outshot like 21-6, and they were up 1-0. But good for them. What were the scoring chances in the game? And you know, I like what they're doing. I like they're like us last year. They're no fun to play against. You know, we got to the point last year where we weren't fun to play against. You went in against us from Bowling Green on. You went in against us, and you're in for a game. And good for them. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of Damon. I'm proud of the job that they're doing. And no surprise, I would have picked them to win a game coming out of that series.
And the other one that stands out, Friday night, Alaska defeating Bowling Green 4-1 with an empty net goal.
We saw Bowling Green last Friday night. Bowling Green is a tremendous hockey team. They're a tremendous hockey team, but they have to refine what they had before. Other teams are competing now, matching their compete level. Bowling Green's a high compete team. And when you match their compete level, they're a team like any other team. Their big deal is they're competing their buy-in. Lake State has competing buy-in. Lake State shut out Bowling Green. You know what I mean? In Bowling Green. So we shut out Bowling Green. They're a good hockey team. Teams right now are trying to make themselves. Look at Huntsville. They went in, swept Anchorage. Mm-hmm. Huntsville's a good team. Huntsville's a good team. They compete like a son of a gun. They're a growing team that's buying into what they're doing. They're trying to build a culture of buy-in and accountability, and they're getting that. So those teams are heading in the right direction.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
Hello, it is I, thine king. Today, I speaketh on behalf of Bud Light and the most sacred of traditions, the tailgate. In my days as a collegiate liege, I hosted the very first tailgate in yon woods. We didn't have coolers or sports. We were basically just in the woods. But we had Bud Light, so a tailgate it was. Anyway, I invite you to continue my legacy and enjoy Bud Light courtesy of me at your tailgate. Also courtesy of me. Dilly dilly.
Enjoy responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Stock up for the winter with ISO Heat Gas Line Antifreeze. 12-ounce containers at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet. Buy one, get your second at 50% off. See store for complete details and more monthly specials at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet through January 30th.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy, knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Launce today or call us at 906-524-6330.
I want to remind you, the game times coming up this weekend are 11:07 Eastern time, so 10:30 pregames from Anchorage will be live from Sullivan Arena. Huskies will be heading up there. Coach, safe travels for you, and it'll be a short week of practice here at home anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get on the ice on Wednesday because that's a flight day. We're going to leave. We're leaving Tuesday and getting on the bus and heading down to Chicago and flying out. You kind of wonder, I'm glad that we came home, but this, there's no school today, so we, you know what I mean? They'd be missing tomorrow, but we'll get at it. I'm looking forward to the trip. I like spending that. It'll be some good time spent with the players.
Somebody was asking about Flow Hockey and whether or not you can get our broadcast on the road. I have nothing to do with that, but apparently you can't, and we appreciate the comments. Thank you very much. Thanks for the questions. Have a great day.